Ladies, ladies, Women Thrive Live event is happening very soon in London. It's happening 5th and 6th of June, and this is our flagship event where you will want to be. Save your spot today because we have nearly 20 amazing international speakers who are going to bring some incredible subjects to the conversation. And this event isn't just one where you're going to be sit back and you're going to listen to a bunch of speakers. No, we want you involved. We want you conversating, we want you collaborating, building relationships, and also having an unforgettable experience. The event is happening in Notting Hill, an iconic venue. So you'll want to be there for the full experience. So make sure you book yourself the spot and also clear your diary for the 5th and 6th of June. We're so excited to have you there, and we can't wait for you to truly experience Women Thrive Live event in person. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.
So when everybody else had dropped out of the industry, fashion, which is youth obsessed, I was just getting successful. I've been in fashion forever, and I'd always been good, but never great. Suddenly at 60, great.
Welcome to Women Thrive Podcast. This is where you'll get to hear incredible stories of female entrepreneurs, business owners, women from all walks of life. Myself, Raymonda Jan, and my co-host Abigail will be interviewing incredible women, hearing inspiring stories of women from all around the world. I have no doubt that you will find something that will be life-changing for you. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and join us for our future episodes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast episode at Women Thrive. I'm so excited to have you here for today's podcast episode with one of our incredible co-authors of the Women Thrive book, and that is being released on 20th of June. So today's guest is Miss Diane Gilman. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Oh, so excited to be here, Ray. Really. This is like such an honor for me. Yay.
I am excited for our audience to actually get to know a little bit about you. And I have had the honor and pleasure of having you part of our co-authored book project this year and getting to know you and your incredible story, as well as finding out about your legendary life and the story that you have lived, which is going to be really interesting, I think, for our audience to get to know a little bit about Diane Gilman. Of course, this month in June, you are featured on the cover of the Women Thrive magazine, which I'm so excited again, just to see a woman like yourself being really spotlighted with your story and for our audience to get to know. So Diane, let us know, where are you joining us from? And yeah, what are you excited about?
So I live in Manhattan, New York City. You can see Central Park out the window. So I have a really bucolic view while still being within this completely mad and crazy city. I've lived here for well over 50 years and seen my city go through a lot of changes. I love the urban pulse, but I also love living by the park, which is a whole different vibe. And I came into authorship late in life. So my whole story is about reinvention and letting my life time itself out. And when I say that, it's because I was in fashion and I really did not become famous or kind of insanely successful until the age of 60. I was middle-aged. I was pudgy. I had dressed rock and roll stars in the 60s and the 70s, going into the 80s. And I found I couldn't wear a jean, and I went crazy, and I went to literally every store in New York and New Jersey looking for a jean for a middle-aged body, couldn't find one, and then thought, light bulb moment, you've got a selling room, a professional team, make your own jean. Took my measurement, made the jean. It so improved my headset for aging. I thought, wait a minute, this can't just be me. It's got to be for millions of women. I brought it to my TV network, my television network, QVC, HSN. They gave me a very small window of chance, but they gave me a chance. And it was immediately a dramatic success. So when everybody else had dropped out of the industry, fashion, which is youth obsessed, I was just getting successful. I'd been in fashion forever and I'd always been good, but never great. Suddenly at 60, great.
Wow.
Then probably at about 64, I wrote my first book, Good Genes, not Good Genetics, Good Genes. Recently, in 22, wrote my second book, Too Young to Be Old, which is sort of a chronicle of my diagnosis to successful treatment finish for breast cancer. And now I've written my chapter for your anthology, Women Thrive 3. And I think that I'm going to just slowly roll out to be an author. I really like it. But point of the story, you are never too old to dream and make a dream come true. And I always dreamt that I didn't want my old age to just be a kind of directionless, useless fade away. I wanted to do something big, something great, something kind, something with a lasting legacy, and I'm working on it. I'm almost 80. I cannot believe it. But here I am, and more enthusiastic than ever. I love learning new things. I you know, when we did the anthology book, which just finished, I had always had a ghostwriter. And I had always, by the way, had a host when I was on television. And now I have my own podcast, Too Young to Be Old, titled the second book. And I had to write this chapter by myself. And it was deep. It was, you have to go back if you're going to talk about a trauma in your life, something that could have stopped you, something that could have beaten you down. You're going to go into some dark places with that. And it, I could only write segments at a time because I don't think when I went through breast cancer and I was 72, Christmas Eve when I was diagnosed, I think I just shut off. I think I put myself in a bubble, a capsule, and just said, I'm not going to feel anything. I don't want to discuss anything. I don't want to be defined by this, and I've just got to get through it like a soldier. So coming back and writing Women Thrive 3, I think is honestly, Ray, the first time I actually experienced what I truly felt about breast cancer.
There's so many nuggets that you've just shared to kind of unpack that never too old to pursue your dream and how your career, you had an incredible career in younger years working with legendary people, but yet sometimes there's that one idea and you had that one idea almost solving a problem for yourself. I wanted to ask you, what gives you that bold courage or a courage to take a bold move? Because it was, and I've looked at some of your previous interviews and incredible work that you've done. I was like, what a woman. You really created an incredible woman. And then you went on to reinvent yourself many times.
It was important. I think, first of all, I came from a house. I had to leave home at a young age because everything I wanted, everything I dreamt of was just stomped on. My parents had an image that women don't work, that you don't dream, but if you do dream, you dream of a conformity. So my only road was lower education, find a man, find a husband, get married, have children. That's it. That is your entire ambition. And it was so ironic to me that I was like the perfect child. If I was a child today, parents would say, thank God she wants to do something and she can support us in her old age. So I think all my life, I think I was set up as a child because I always dreamt of being a big fashion designer and living in New York. And I think I was set up to fight my whole life for everything I wanted. I don't think anything ever came to me easily. I feel like I've climbed Mount Everest 5 billion times. And I had my major light bulb moment in fashion when most people were way out of fashion. Because a 60-year-old designer, are you kidding me? But the other thing that was so amazing was I never even got on TV until I was 47 years old. Now, I was lucky. Teleretail is an older audience, so they accepted me. But I didn't know anything about makeup or hair or how to stand in front of a camera or how to project your voice. But I love to learn and learn on the go. So the way that I view breast cancer is it was a wake-up call. I was leading a highly stressful life. I was also doing QVC all over Europe, UK, Italy, France, Germany, also Canada, also Australia, and nobody wanted a substitute. Everyone wanted me in front of that camera so I could guarantee the sales. And I remember the surgeon, very, very famous surgeon, took care of me. I was so lucky. And she said, I know you. I see you on TV. You have got to lead an insanely stressful life. Stress gave you cancer, even though it was a hormonal-based cancer. And when I came back to television, I only took 8.5 months off, had massive chemotherapy, massive radiation, and a double mastectomy, was back on air, probably a little bit before I should have been. And having the time away from the medium when I got back, I wanted to ask myself a couple of key questions. First was, do you still love what you do? And the answer was, no. Does it make your heart beat fast? No. Have you done it too long? Probably. And I thought, well, what are you going to do? I mean, it was a little bit unnatural. I'm asking myself these questions at 77 years old when most people have been retired for 20 years already and I'm still working. And I thought, well, what are you good at? I'm very pragmatic. And I thought, well, I like being in front of a camera and I'm a talker. I can talk and I'm a storyteller. And so if I'm telling a story about a pair of my jeans that I've designed, I could also be telling a story or letting other people come on and share a story with them. I thought, okay, I think I could do that. COVID had hit, so we weren't even working out of a studio anymore. And so even though I was number one fashion personality internationally for teleretailing, I also felt that cable TV was not growing. It was a dilution, right? So I just took a chance. I told them I was leaving. And I don't think anybody was too happy about that. But when you've been through a mortality-based situation, disease like breast cancer, I think it changes your point of view. And I think it set me up to age in a very different way, where many people see old age as a punishment. I see it as a privilege. Where people see old age as like looking through a fog and there's nothing really there, I see it as an incredible opportunity to make a huge statement. And because I have had an audience that bordered on 700,000 women between QVC and Home Shopping Network in America, I knew I could gather a female community around me. And I also learned that although I loved fashion, I could just go out shopping and fulfill that need. But I had a huge elemental need to succeed. And I was just going to take that burning light inside of me and transfer it from designing fashion to a legacy of helping women age more productively, more gracefully, more joyously, and give them all the information that is very hard to accrue on your own. And it took about 3 months. And I thought, yeah, I'm really liking this. And I'm meeting all these new people. And wow. And I thought, I'm really going to hone my skills at making my podcast the best. And then on YouTube, we are like in the top 100 already for female broadcasts, female podcasts that deal with all the facts of aging and anti-aging. So I feel like I'm going in the right direction. I feel like I'm doing something empathetic and compassionate and meaningful. And I feel like my life is really enriched by one of the scariest decisions I ever made, which was to let go of everything I had been and was familiar with. I was on air for 30 years and I was 50 years in fashion. And I just said, you've got to nourish your soul. You've got to excite yourself again. You've got to set challenges and meet them. And it's a very different life for me now, but the elements are the same. You got to find out who you are inside. And once I understood the need to succeed was overwhelmingly me, then I understood where I was going. Failure is not an option.
It's not an option. I know, right? It's certain qualities within us that it's just part of you. Like for me, entrepreneurship is part of me, and you'd have to cut off my arm would destroy my essence of who I am for me not to have that within me, right?
Yep.
And it's
me too.
Innate need to be free and entrepreneurial and achieving and succeeding. I don't know, it's a quest of life, and it keeps you alive. It keeps you purposeful. Life's gives your life meaning. And that's what
and especially when you're older and everybody is telling you you're crazy. Why are you doing anything? How dumb are you to start a new business at 77, 78 years old? Why don't you just kick back? Why don't you just, everyone's got an opinion. And none of these people that are giving you the opinion have ever been your age. So how would they know? Because what I want to get across to my audience is this is not your youth and this is not your middle age. This is a totally new territory. And there is not enough organized respect for it. There's not enough information about it. It's very own territory, and it needs a spotlight, a positive spotlight on it.
Then so. Something that I love, which you said, this is a privilege. And I really see that. And I love the way you cherish these years and being really intentional about what it is that you're doing, how you make an impact, and even the words you choose and the way you tell your story. And I feel like for a woman of your grace and age and your not just success, but I would say life story, to have that view of life that it's a privilege to be here and to still be doing what I do. And Diane, in one of our calls leading up to writing our book, you mentioned something which very much in line in what we're speaking about today, which was, you said, ladies, I have a different sense of urgency in my life.
Totally. I'm so geared to put the work in, to succeed. And sometimes one of my assistants will say, oh, you're so impatient. And okay, all right, girls, guess what? You're 35. I'm 78. In about 3 weeks, I'm about to be 79. Time is different for me. I used to be like, in my youth, I was like Scarlett O'Hara out of Gone with the Wind, and was like, I'll think about that tomorrow. But now tomorrow is very imminent. And I realize that time is condensed and it's got to happen sooner and with power. So I think that that's one of the big, I would almost say big issues that is different in my age category, 55 plus, than below, is that there isn't this huge carpet of time in front of you where you can just flick time away and say, oh, I'll get to that. I don't want to deal with that. You've got to realize that every minute for me may be an hour or a day for somebody that's younger. And I just see it. I see it in a different way and maybe a more valuable way. So a more intense way. And that's another thing I think people just buy into society's view of aging, which is for women past the age of fertility, especially with what's going on in America with women, you're sort of shunted aside. You're not needed anymore. You're not useful anymore. And I'm taking on a huge issue here. And sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to the wind, but it's about recognizing yourself as a female. And you have to sort of know your own value, because we are not living in a time, at least in the United States, where females are being treated as if they're equals. We just had a politician come out and say that he's going to work very hard to take the vote away from American women again. And I'm just sitting there looking at this and thinking, I was there in 1972 burning my bra when we finally got some rights. And so that puts a whole other layer of importance and immediacy on it. But basically, I say, you're never too old to dream. And if you're going to dream, dream big. What's it going to hurt? It's not, there shouldn't be anybody who can talk you into limitations.
When you say, am I just speaking to the wind? And is anyone hearing? And I just want to say, just by being you, just by showing up and being you, leading by example, living your life in the biggest capacity that you have available to you, and stepping out of your comfort zone, publishing books, doing TV appearances, traveling the world. I mean, how many 79-year-old women do you see looking like a fashion diva, being an influencer? And I tell you, Diane does more podcasts and social media stuff than me.
We are really on it. And because we feel that we are underserved, that my age group is totally underserved, underinformed, and expected to underperform. And so when I designed the middle-aged gene based on the measurements of my pudgy body, I remember everybody said to me, oh, my partner, who was vastly overweight, male partner, said, big beer belly, said, who wants to see fat old chicks in a pair of fitted pants? And I thought, well, about 23 million women do. I mean, that's what we sold to date in 17 years. And I realized that it wasn't that people around me were right or wrong. It's just, if you don't get my vision, then you're just not one of the people who should be here when I execute it. And so many times I have done my best to get something big across that almost nobody comprehended until the audience glommed onto it. And the middle-aged gene was just this revolution and revelation. And it felt so good. And then after that, about 8 years later, I decided to design a top that would hide your midriff and your big bulge. And that was crazy, just crazy. I mean, in our very best show, which was the show I came back to do after treatment, it was Thanksgiving. You always do your best during holidays, right? Especially when there's a big football game, but the women don't want to watch it. They go in the bedroom and shop. We sold 225,000 jeans.
Wow.
In one day, being on air for, I think, a total of 7 hours, 8 hours. Yeah, there was a huge, huge, huge hidden, I don't want to admit that I'm middle-aged and pudgy, but I am, audience that just was so grateful. They finally got dedicated clothing of their own.
Yeah.
So I think that one of my other great talents is understanding what my female community needs and wants, even if they can't express it, and giving it to them. And making them happier, making their lives better.
Yeah.
That's my big goal.
I love that, Diane. I would say entrepreneurs are the biggest dream setters because we have to convince our audience that something exists before it actually exists.
Yes. I think that's not even the biggest challenge. I think the biggest challenge is getting the business community to get behind you. As a woman, as a female entrepreneur, and I'm not a big fan of corporations. I feel that the businesses that are happening today are singular entrepreneurs who have that homey kind of handmade, I did it myself, I hope you like it, I think you need it quality to them, and present it. And it was interesting that I was watching something on cable TV yesterday, and there was a commercial, and it's a woman that comes out and says, oh, I'm a doctor and I developed this cream and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wow, this looks like a TikTok commercial. This looks like an Instagram commercial. Now, cable TV is actually not hiring professional actors. They're hiring people like me or you, who have a concept and a dream, and you want to present it to the public, and who better to present it than you as the inventor of the dream? And it really resonates. So, Ray, it's our time. It's our time to shine. I'm convinced of it.
It certainly is. And then I can't wait to meet you in person, get you in front of our camera, record an incredible interview. Because I believe that your life is truly legendary, what you've done and how much wisdom you've got to share. And I truly respect that. So
you know what?
I
know. And I was saying to one of your great people that you work with that I never thought I'd be back in London again. I mean, when I got my diagnosis and COVID hit and no one was traveling, and I thought to myself, I don't know if I'll ever get the strength back to actually be able to start going around the world again. So this will be my first time back in London. And believe me, I was in London once every 3 weeks to do TV for years. It'll be my first time back in about 8 years, 6 years, 7 years, long time. So imagine how incredibly excited I am. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to London. You know that I'm already packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how much.
We're like 3 weeks away, maybe more than that, 4 weeks.
4 weeks away. And I've already got all my little bags set up, and I know what I'm wearing, and I know what event I'm wearing them for. So you will not ever meet a more excited woman to be able to be abroad and participating in life again. That's me.
And you're joined by one lady who's, it is the first time actually going to Europe and to UK. So,
wow.
I'm excited that you both get to share this experience of this vacation or trip, and we get to do some incredible things together. Do authors meet and greet, and we're launching the book, which is so exciting. What was it like for you to work alongside other authors that you got to meet on this journey?
It was a humbling experience. And part of that is when you are a fashion designer and you're relatively successful and you're living in Manhattan, or you could be living in London, or you could be living in Paris, you're living in an ivory tower. You are elevated. I was also on television, so that's even another elevation, but it's also a series of screens against the real world. You do very little that is real. Everything is recorded on TV or in a video, and you are always, to me, almost every relationship was a transactional relationship because I only had time to know people at the different studios. And so when I went into treatment for breast cancer, I started meeting real women. You're sitting in a waiting room and we're all there for one common purpose, and we all wish we weren't there. And so the commonality of it was familiar to me, but the fact that there were women from so many different parts of life, and that was the fascinating and frankly really humbling part of it. And that's how I feel about all these authors. You picked women from so many different professions and parts of life, from young all the way up to me, and I thank you for picking me, because frankly, sometimes there is so much prejudice against older women. They just presume I'm going to be doddering and only have half a mind left. And yeah, I'm not kidding. So I'm fascinated. And I'm also fascinated because common experience. Yeah. Some of the women went through a trauma that I also went through, but slightly differently. And then I'm fascinated by the women who had a physical issue like multiple sclerosis, MS, mm-hmm. but they handled it without medication and handled it through the power of the mind and the heart. And so that, and the fact that we all had the talent and the fortitude to write these chapters, because it is not easy writing mm-hmm. about trauma. I think I learned more about who I was and how I handled what could have been a life-shattering event from writing this chapter in Women Thrive 3 than in all the moments that I was aware of what I was going through and facing. Yeah, it is incredible to have to reach down into yourself and tell the truth, because you know that when you are an author or when you are an inventor, and I was the cross between an inventor and a designer, mm-hmm. my best moments are the moments when I really reached into me and pulled something out, even inventing the middle-aged gene, oh my God, I felt so much younger. I felt so much better. I felt so much stronger. After I was wearing that gene, it was an emotional revolution for me. And the same is true for writing this chapter. It was a huge change for me. And it told me so much more about myself than I was willing to admit when I was going through it. I mean, thank you. Wow. I think it really set a course for me for the rest of my life.
I'm glad that this process in itself facilitated going there, because I believe when we share our stories, we almost have that responsibility for our audience to tell our truth, to tell our story, and also to find a lesson within it. And I think when you get the opportunity to really reflect on your story, what I've been through, and as you say, process that emotional part of what you had to go through, now that you're in a different chapter in your life, in a way, I'm so glad that you allowed yourself to feel, because the go-getter, the undefeated, the glamorous Diane would never accept broken Diane. And perhaps you didn't want to see that when you were going.
Or untruthful Diane. I think I mentioned to you, we had that great authors meeting once a week. I met a lot of celebrities because of teleretail, because everybody as a celebrity who's reached a peak and is on their way down is just sure they're going to become a millionaire by selling something on television. And I'm not going to mention names, but it's somebody who's in actually great mental health distress now, but I worked alongside of her for several years, and they just did her biop on Lifetime Movies. And I'm watching this and I said, this is ridiculous. She obviously had the facility to say no to anything she didn't want her public to see. So the story is paper thin. It's like formica. You can click on it and it may look like marble, but it's plastic. And I thought, no, I don't want my chapter to be a gloss over of my life. Like, so I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and then it was all good, and and I'm back. And no. And especially important to me, because 1 in every 6 women in the world is going to experience what I experienced during their lifetime. And I wanted to demystify it. I wanted it to be such an honest account of an unthinkable situation. And see, I came out of it the other end, only I came out of it better, kinder, more sensitive, more purposeful of my legacy, what I want to leave behind. So that's why for me, the chapter is so important, because it's almost a step-by-step guideline to taking advantage of one of the worst crises of your life and making it elevating and taking intimidation and making it into actually inspiration and making the whole situation in its own way, believe it or not, aspirational as well, and little tips on how to deal with it. Yeah, I wanted to make it actionable for the reader to say, well, okay, so if something like this ever happens to me, and chances are, if you live long enough, it will, she did it. She survived it. She thrived on it. Women thrive.
I can't wait to see how this story and chapter is going to impact the lives of our readers. And I can just say, not only your chapter, but the entire book is really outstanding. And the caliber of writing that we have seen in this particular book has been really mind-blowing. And I remember...
But Ray, you guys pulled that caliber out of us. And I will say it, this was one of the best experiences of my life. And if I had to question, could I actually be a freestanding author without a ghostwriter, with no props or tools, but my heart and my mind, the answer is I learned I could through Women Thrive. You just put on such excellent, almost like university classes in writing. And really, it all comes from your explanation of where we have to go within ourselves to get to that point of truth that resonates like a gong or a beautiful bell. And you can't fool the audience. You cannot fool the reader or the viewer. They know when it's the real deal. They can feel it too. So I think that was amazing, really amazing for me.
I know we had a lot of tears. I know we had a lot of emotions. That's when it's worth it. And I say, if you're feeling it, the audience will feel it. And if you don't feel writing, don't feel anything. Like even me writing my own chapter, I feel those flutters going back and reading it, right? I feel it. And when you do, you're doing the right job. And you have to go there. And for speakers and authors, I encourage anyone to tap into the emotions and the real, true, honest, and raw feelings and situations that will bring out. And if you've never reflected, if you've never spent time there before, I challenge you to do that, because it's not easy. And sometimes we like to cover up our stories or moments that were very difficult and challenging, but yet pivotal. And it's not only just pivotal for you and your life transformation, but it's pivotal now for somebody else. And if you were able to go there emotionally and mentally and extract the lessons, right? And what I love about your chapter, which is called The Princess the Pauper, right at the end, you extracted the beautiful learning through a woman called Sheila. And this aha moment for me, it was just such a moment that it's as if the entire chapter was leading towards that moment of realization and a lesson that you've learned in that, that helped you become more humble. That was such a profound lesson that I wasn't even expecting to come out from just a story like that. It's a newer chapter.
That was amazing. And then I was sitting in my living room recently, right before I ended the chapter, waiting for a weather report or something. And out comes Kate Middleton. Mm. Out comes and in a pair of jeans that I could have designed, right? So she's already, by what she's wearing, touching the common woman, touching everybody through a totally relatable everyday way of dressing and saying, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I have cancer. Mm-hmm. I can't lead a normal life for a while. And I just sat there and wept. And I thought, and it's how I got the title, whether you are a New York fashion designer, sophisticated fashion designer, or you are living in a homeless shelter as a battered wife, that's Sheila, or you are Kate Middleton and you are going to be the Queen of England. Cancer is a great teacher. Cancer is the great leveler. Cancer is going to teach you humility. It's going to teach you commonality. It's going to teach you what every moment and every breath of your life is worth. And someone recently wanted me to do a podcast called Cancer is a Stupid Jerk, because their brother got lung cancer and never smoked a minute in his life. And so every time he started coughing, he would just say, cancer is a stupid jerk. And I said, I can't say that on air. I want to pay cancer the respect it deserves. And it was actually not a stupid jerk in my life. It was a necessary life lesson that set me on a different course of life, a different path. So, yeah.
Diane, well, there's one thing for sure that I can't wait for our audience to go and grab a copy of the Women Thrive Volume 3 book. And it's a little bit
amazing.
Of blue on the cover, and it's a lady with a lotus flower, which is, you might be have grown in the mud, you might have to face a lot of life challenges, but it's never over. And I think the most beautiful moments and our own true ability to shine through adversity will become visible in the end. If you stick through long enough and you start to reframe your mind, how you see your life challenges and defeats or diagnosis, loss, this grief, there's so many stories that women have shared, but yet each and every one of them found a way to turn that around and tell their story in such an empowering and inspirational way. So Diane, I want to say thank you for your beautiful words, for dedicating the time of your life, which is, I know, super precious, to write your story and share with our readers of what your life was like and what you've learned from this incredible journey that you've been on. And I can't wait for our audience to see more of you and the incredible work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for recognizing me as somebody worthy to write a chapter in this book. And it was an incredible experience. And because I've lived through my talent all my life, it was amazing at 78 years old to discover, truthfully, a new talent, authorship and writing. I thank you for that.
Well, Diane, there's one more thing to say. You are on the cover of June of the Women Thrive magazine. I'm so proud of this issue. Absolutely
powerful.
Stunning. You look amazing in jeans.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see you in person and for our audience to have meet and greet with you in July.
Yay. So good experience. Actually, great experience. And just to be an older female and to go into a totally new entrepreneurial endeavor, which is podcasting, being a silver-haired influencer on social media, and authorship, you need a chance, someone who's going to believe in you and give you that boost for the first step up. And that's you, Ray. That's you and your amazing female team. So thank you.
I humbly receive
that. Means the world to me, really.
And likewise, working with phenomenal women, who is just ease and joy to work with. We had so many laughs. I was like, sometimes this is a dyad show because she loves to be the great diva that you deserve to be. And for
I was always a class clown. And I get worried sometimes because my Leo personality, and you're a Leo too, my Leo personality is just huge and it takes over. So I try to sit quietly in a lot of these meetings, but somehow it's just not me and it never works.
Well, and she comes out to play and it's like, uh-oh, there's Diane's show for the next 10 minutes. And it's so interesting for me as a fellow Leo woman. Like, I have to recognize that moment and allow you that moment to have that, because that's you having fun. That's you speaking your story, your truth, with a beautiful intention and some amazing stories that we got to hear from you. And I love Diane's show. Some more of that, please. I secretly a fan.
I can guarantee it. I actually said to somebody the other day, I said to my social media manager, I worry about going to these meetings because I just sometimes I just take over. it's, and she's seen me, she's worked with me for a dozen years. So she's seen how that worked on TV too. There are those of us who have very big external personalities. And those are the people that are meant to be on camera. Those are the people that we feed off of it. We love it. It's a soul food kind of thing. So thank you for putting up with that.
It's joyful. I'm pretty calm and I do like to allow people their space. And it's nice. It's nice to watch that.
And you probably see a lot of yourself in it because you're Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your imagery alone were very dramatic. Yeah, I would be dishonest if I didn't admit to myself that I can take a lot of space up. I used to fill the space almost immediately. But it's great. I think a lot of older women, women over 55 and 60, kind of compress and shrivel up and sort of die because they're not getting the attention. They don't know how to make a voice for themselves. And maybe I know it all too well, but I like to have fun, don't you, Ray? I mean, I'm a Leo. I want to laugh. And that was one thing during my treatment. I made sure I laughed several times a day. I made sure that there was still this and that gave me a lot of joy. And I just kept telling myself, this is not your entire life. This is just one little compartment of many compartments and points of your life. And this too shall pass. I even calculated the number of days I had been alive when I was 72 and started treatment and said, okay, you've been alive for like 53,752 days and your treatment is going to be 295 days. Now, come on, you can survive that. I made it just pragmatic. No one else was going to do it for me. So I laid out a schematic map of emotionally and mentally how I was going to see this as not a tsunami, but rather just something that comes along and you deal with it and then you move on. So here I am taking over the stage again. I'm zipping my lip.
Well, Diana, I always knew that whenever we have a podcast, it's just going to be phenomenal. And of course, we're going to take a lot of space. So that has been expected. And I hope our audience have enjoyed this wonderful interview. If you have and you're feeling inspired, go ahead and grab the volume 3 of the Women Thrive book, Inspiring True Stories of Women Overcoming Adversity. Diane Gilman and her beautiful chapter From Princess to Powerful. And I'm just thrilled for you to get to know Diane, follow her on social media channels. What's the best place for our audience to connect with you, Diane?
Well, if you want to take a look at our podcast, and we do too, Too Young to Be Old, title of my second book, but also about In Your Mind, You Can Always Stay Too Young to Be Old. That is my YouTube channel. We're on TikTok. I love TikTok. We're on Instagram and we are on Facebook. So you'll see little snippets of me everywhere. You're a silver-haired influencer, and that's me, Diane Gilman.
And I challenge you to go ahead and Google Diane Gilman on YouTube and check out some of the interviews that she's done. I am blown away by just your transformation in the persona that you are and you have today to the successful woman that you were also in other, I guess, decades of your life, which is quite...
The greatest thing, and I know we have to end this podcast, is I was beginning to feel after 50 years of fashion and 30 years on TV that I was a one-note song. And then when I left to try something new and something stimulating and something different and into a big learning curve, I thought, yeah, I'm actually a full-blown cantata, or I could be a symphony. In my own way, I'm really proud of myself and the fact that I took the chance to alter and improve my journey through life. And you're a big part of it. Women Thrive is a big part of it for me. So I thank you.
I appreciate it, Diane. And this has been so much fun to hang out with you today. I want to say thank you to our audience who has spent this time with us today. If you're feeling inspired, make sure you share this episode with your friends on social media. Reach out to Diane personally and say thank you for writing her story and sharing her wisdom with us today. I think that would be greatly appreciated.
And it would.
We look forward to seeing you, Diane, in London in July. And if you are in London or anywhere close to Europe, come out to do our meet and greet with our incredible authors. And no doubt you'll see Diane on our stage more often. Thank you all so much. And Diane, we'll see you again very soon. Thank you for today.
Bye, Ray.
Bye. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thank you for tuning in to Women Thrive Podcast. If you found today's episode empowering and inspiring, be sure to subscribe and follow us. Better yet, leave a review and share it with others. We're committed to bringing you more stories that will empower and inspire you on your own journey. Until next time, keep listening, keep learning, and keep pursuing your dreams.